Two heads, not one.
You must discover and pay close attention to what is going on in the other person's head, as well as what's going on in your head. Words have two levels of meaning, the literal, dictionary meaning, and the more complex, associative meaning. For example, the dictionary definition of negotiation is reaching agreement through discussion and compromise, while the meaning many people associate with negotiation is to win or lose related to price, more battle than compromise. You, as do most of us, operate every day assuming that the literal meanings and associative meanings of words in your head are the same as words in the other person's head. Brief reflection tells you that this is a false assumption. What each word means to you is not what those same words mean to someone else. True, but what you may not realize is the extent of the differences of word meanings. If you pay close attention to a number of people over a long period of time, you'll discover that the meanings of the words in your head are so different from the meaning of those same words in another person's head that it's like speaking a foreign language, even though it's all still English. Specifically, the meanings of the words in your head are so different from the meanings of the same words in the other person's head that you must translate the words you hear, just as others must translate the words they hear from you into the meanings they have in their heads. This reality is the primary source of misunderstandings. It is also why it's so important to invest a lot of time to first truly understand the other person, and then second, to explain yourself. The alternative, better approach, of course, is to not operate on the assumption of universal word meanings. So, how do you do that? Well, you must consciously and continually remind yourself that your first task, and this is critically true in price negotiations, is to discover and understand what the other person thinks, how they think the way they do, and why they think the way they do, all the while paying close attention to the literal and associative meanings of the words both of you are using. Let's take a look at how Terry, a fairly new salesman at Universal Parts Company, normally handles that dreaded objection, your price is too high. Terry's worked very hard over the last 3 months to get an appointment with Pat, the senior buyer at General Products, Inc., a big manufacturing firm. Terry knows that General Products buys what he's selling. He just needs a chance to sell Pat, the senior buyer, someone he's never met until today. After cooling his heels in the lobby for 20 minutes, Terry is escorted into Pat's office and waits for a couple more minutes while Pat finishes her phone call. Pat hangs up the phone, sits back in her chair and says, "What do you got, kid?" Terry says, "Quite a lot, Miss Smith, and I'd be pleased to tell you about it," as he launches into his carefully prepared sales pitch. After listening carefully for about 10 minutes, Pat raises her hand for Terry to stop and says, "What's the price?" Terry, a bit surprised, recovers and says, "$10 per hundred." At that point, Pat looks very surprised, leans forward, and shoots back, "Your price is too high." Now let's stop right here and figure out what's going on in Pat's head and in Terry's. Pat, the experienced senior buyer, probably has a very good understanding of what Terry is trying to sell because she did her homework before the meeting. She also knows what competing products cost, their relative quality, and how well they fit General Products requirements. Pat also knows that Terry is new and relatively inexperienced, so she takes an aggressive tack and immediately asks for a price reduction. In fact, it's safe to assume that regardless of what Terry quoted as a price, Pat would have said the price was too high. Pat's strategy is to try to get her first price reduction quickly and then work down from there. Terry, on the other hand, isn't thinking about what's going on in Pat's head. He's surprised at the price question and even further surprised at Pat's quick price challenge. Terry's not sure what to say, so he offers a 10% discount off of the list price, hoping that Pat will stay interested. What should Terry have done? Well, he's made three major mistakes. First, he should have started out with a lot of questions about Pat's requirements so he could have better positioned his presentation later. Specifically, he didn't let her influence him before he tried to influence her, what I call the paradox of influence. Second, he should not have answered Pat's question about price. It was way too early in the process. He should have responded with more questions about quality, requirements, and delivery, as well as gained a detailed understanding about how and where his parts fit into the specific products General Manufacturing makes. He then would have had a much better idea of how his parts create value for Pat's company. Finally, and the key to this section of the program, Terry didn't know what Pat meant when she said, "Your price is too high." Just exactly what is high? Well, whatever high is, it's different in Pat's head than it is in Terry's head. So at the very least, Terry's reply to Pat's statement, "Your price is too high," should have been something like, "Really? Well, Pat, could you help me understand what you mean when you say high?" At this point, Terry may well be thinking he'll have to cut another $2 off the price, bringing it down to $8 a hundred. He might also be surprised when Pat replies, "We can get them for $9 a hundred every day of the week." High to Terry was $2, but only $1 to Pat. And sure, it also could have been the other way around. But the critical point is that you don't know what's in the other person's head unless you take the time and ask enough questions to find out. Finally, the above highly simplified example only involved two people. And, as you well know, this is rarely the case. Any negotiation rapidly becomes highly complex as the number of people increase because you must discover word meanings and connotations for every person involved in the process. One thing you can count on, what words mean in your head is not what they mean in other people's heads. Remember, everyone is speaking a foreign language, even though it's all still English. You must understand the dictionary meanings, and you must discover the connotations or associative meanings of the words the other person is using, given the context in which they are using them. The most direct way to discover what someone means is to ask. In this case, Terry should say, "When you say the price is too high, what's included in the word price? What do you mean by high?" Or you restate in your own words what the other person has just said and ask them if what you said is what they meant. The other person will be flattered that you're interested in what they think and why they think it. You, of course, know that it's in your best interest to truly understand them in order to put yourself in a position to influence their thinking, their emotions, and their actions.